بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We were discussing about human soul and the wonders of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is actually unfathomable. If you remember, just a reminder from last week, we said that we have Alamul Mulk. Can everyone see? Yeah, maybe if you put one light off, probably.
All three are.
Oh, all three are together.
Yeah.
Much better then. Well, it's better in two ways, because you can see this and you cannot see me. That's two benefits.
We can spiritually see you.
Yeah, we said that we have Alamul Mulk, which is actually surrounded by a bigger Alam, a bigger world of creation, which corresponds to it, which is called Alamul Mithal or Alamul Khiyal, the world of image, or it is also called Barzakh. Now, I want to ask you why it is called Barzakh, after mentioning that there is another world which is Alamul Uqul, the world of intellect. They are intellect because they are rational beings, like angels. And they are called intellect because they are purely reason. They do not attach to any material thing. And that's why the world of angels is completely different than the world of human beings. Now, this Alamul Mulk, where we are living now, but it doesn't mean that we will move to another Alam, Alamul Mithal, after death, or it's somewhere else. It's another dimension of the same world in which we are living. And also Alamul Ghul as well is another dimension, but with some difference. Now, this Alamul Mithal is also called Alamul Barzakh. Can anyone tell me why? Barzakh is a barrier, isn't it? Or something which goes between two things. It's called Barzakh because it's the middle world between this Alamul Mulk and Alamul Uqul. It's actually, although it's a world of images, but it's the middle world. The middle world in the sense that, although it's detached from the matter that we know, however, it carries some qualities of this matter, like dimension, like color, pleasures, material pleasures, which maybe our deceased relatives would have some pleasures, as we have in the Quran, although they are in that Alamul Barzakh or Alamul Mithal. Now, human soul has the capacity to somehow correspond itself to all these three worlds. Well, now our soul is completely attached to our body, so it is completely in Alamul Mulk, or it's called Alamul Shahada. This is Alamul Shahada because we see it. The other worlds above it, we don't see it. So that's Alamul Ghaib. It's Ghaib because by this ordinary eye of the soul, it is not perceivable. It needs training to be perceived. So when Allah says He's Alamul Ghaib wa Shahada, it means He knows whatever you are in, and of course He is Alamul Ghaib of the other worlds, which are actually like an envelope around this world, like a dimension, of course a much deeper dimension around this world. And of course, what happens when we die? Can someone, because when we die, we go to this middle world. It's Alamul Barzakh, isn't it? When we die, we go to this middle world. In fact, we don't go anywhere. It's just, we go into the other dimension of this world. And even when we are resurrected, we don't go anywhere. We just go to another, we go to deeper and deeper dimensions of this world, which are, of course, closer and closer to the glory and jalal and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what happens when we die? We leave this body, but we have another body, which has dimension and which has color, could be figured out. However, it's not matter, it's not a physical, material type of body. It's called the image body, called the al-badanul mithali, a body which has the image that we have. However, it doesn't have matter, it doesn't have elements in it. It's not made of elements that our body are made, but it's completely similar to this body, it's shaped in this form. Now, can anyone tell me when this body is formed for us? Because that's again a body. Our soul needs a body. Our soul cannot live without a body. And this is why our capacity to progress is infinite. The angels cannot progress. They are as they are made. Because there is no evolution, no change, no movement in their world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this soul of human being in something which can move, can change, can go forward. And that's why the expansion of human soul is infinite. While every angel, every member of this alamul uqul, they have a limited place. وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ. All of us, this is in the Quran, every member of the angel group, they have a known position, station, a limited station. They cannot move above it. They cannot go further. Except human being, which mystics say, human being doesn't have a maqamun ma'lum. It is not known for us how far it can go and expand. And this is why actually the angels prostrated to Adam, because of the capacity that Adam had and they didn't have. And this comes, of course, that capacity expands through learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, can anyone tell me when this soul, when this mithali body, our mithali body is not our soul. Soul is something different. And these people who say that we bring our soul out of the body, of course, most of them lie. However, they say when they say we bring our soul out of, they don't bring the soul out of the body. They somehow separate the two bodies from each other in a way that neither of the bodies die. Now, when this body is formed, this mithali body, which of course will carry us in the barzakh, in the world of images, or in the middle world, when is this formed? Yes.
It actually exists now, and there's actually a parallel between those three worlds and our physical body and soul. So our physical body goes to this world. Soul belongs to the ukul, and the other body, the barzakh, it exists now. You can make it separate even now.
Yeah, so it exists now. It is actually with us. That mithali body is with us. But we don't see it. We don't see it because it is in another dimension of us. It's somehow put exactly upon this body. However, it can be separated when we die. And there is one interesting thing about this body. In this world, of course, when we sin too much, our faces would show it. I mean, for shrewd and intelligent people and for faithful people, it is clear. When they see a face, they can recognize whether there is faith in this face or there is not faith in this face. The body shows what is in the heart. And if someone is very, very faithful, you would see light in their face. This happens. I mean, this is something it's very common. However, of course, this is very limited to those people who can recognize this, and also the changes are very slow and very small. It doesn't deform a person. I mean, sin doesn't deform a body. It would have some, of course, effect on it, but it doesn't deform. that Mithali body, the image body, it is very sensitive. It is deformed by sin. And this is something very interesting. Because, for example, when you hear that some people say, we looked at some people and we saw them in different faces. Some of them were, for example, donkeys, some of them were monkeys, some of them were other animals like them. Of course, they can recognize who they are. But their Mithali body is deformed in a way that they appear in other forms and other shapes. And when that body actually separates from this body, it shows itself very much. And the meaning of this hadith, which is an explanation of this verse, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا, the day the horn is blown and you come in different categories, different groups. And these different groups are, we have in a hadith that people come in different forms and different shapes. They come in shape of different animals, for example. It is because their Mithali body is deformed. It is deformed now. I mean, and someone who's really, really pious, their Mithali body becomes shiny. And this is why on the day of judgment, we have some other body different from this Mithali body. On the day of judgment, we are told in the Quran that some faces shine on the day of judgment. And they have light which actually, their faces carry light which enlighten their way, make everything clear for them. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, their light goes ahead of them. So shiny their bodies are. Okay. And of course, on the other side, the kuffar, you will see them that وَجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّهُ, their faces are dark. كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا, it is as if some, their faces are covered by darkness of the night. This is how they look. This is how the action actually affects the body. And those people who say that we see people in different forms, they actually enter into that dimension of the middle world. And they see the middle world. And it is very difficult to see both the middle world and this world. If you go to that dimension, then of course you see the dimension of the middle world. And even in the middle world, not all people are able to recognize that deformation of the body. Now, if body is deformed in this way, you can imagine how soul is deformed by sin. And how, when of course the day of judgment comes, how pity the souls would feel about themselves when they see the deformation they have brought upon themselves by the actions that they had in this world. Now, we mentioned that human being, if this is our alam al-shahada, if this is our existence here in this world, then our existence in the world of images is much bigger. And we may not believe it, but when we die and we enter the other world, the world of images, we will see that this world was really death. It was a prison. It was something that would had actually completely restricted our action, our pleasures, our understandings. And when we go to that middle world, we will see that how immense is the capacities of the human being in terms of pleasure, enjoyment, because the real pleasure is what you feel, how you imagine it. And that is the world of imagination. Whatever you imagine is you, actually. And of course in Jannah it's the same thing. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عَنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ فِيهِ مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنْفُسُ, whatever a soul might wish is there. And that wish is in fact the materialization of itself. When you wish it, it is with you. And then when, of course, we go to the next world, will become much, much bigger than this. Alamul Mithal is just like clay when we go to Qiyamah. To, of course, we can't call Qiyamah Alamul Uqul. It's a bit different. Now, when we say this, we don't mean that human soul actually is differentiated or divided into these awalam, into these worlds. It is one thing which can correspond to all these. It has capacity to connect and communicate with all these worlds. And therefore, the mystics say that if you want to know the creation of Allah, you have to know your soul. Everything could be known by your soul. However, it is very, very difficult to get an understanding and a knowledge of one's own soul. This I'm quoting from Hasanzadeh Amuli, Ayatollah Hasanzadeh Amuli, which is a great arif, a contemporary arif, of course, he's still alive in Qom. He says in one of his books that the knowledge of soul could not be attained except through inner unveilings and esoteric visions. When you want to know your soul, you need visions to see. And this is not, of course, obtained but by self-training and mujahada in private, accompanied by strong seclusion from people. Of course, this seclusion is not seclusion, physical seclusion. It is seclusion in the heart, as it is, of course, mentioned in the Quran about the Prophet, وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Remember the name of your Lord and cut off from everyone to Him. And we know that Prophet physically didn't cut off, especially after he was given the mission. And this is after his mission. He's never cut off from the people. He was always among the people. So, this is a seclusion which goes inside the heart. And, of course, it's by strong seclusion from people and severance from vanities of the world and its futile desires. And, of course, you admit this is really difficult to detach oneself from this world and its worries. And the type of things that we are used to do is very difficult. So, whatever we are talking about, Irfan and other things, talking about it is simple. But if you want to put it in practice and find out, it is difficult. However, we are going to find out about all these things later on when we die, inshallah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, you might ask, what's the point of going through all these and making life difficult? Now I'm asking you, what's the point of this? If you are anyhow going through all these stages, and after we die you go to Alamul Mithal, why should we see Alamul Mithal now? Why should we want to have to communicate with Alamul Mithal, the middle world, now? When we die, naturally we go to that image world. And of course, after that, naturally we go higher and higher. And certainly when we go to Jannah, and all of you know that the Prophet has promised that if you follow me and you do whatever I tell you without exerting so much effort, you will come to paradise with me. So what's the point of all this? Can anyone tell me? Yes.
Last week you said, was that there isn't a point if a person wants to do it. However, if Allah loves a person, He invites them. And He gives them this benefit in this world rather than in the next. And in the next, that is much higher.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't the point that the awliya, they are free from all suffering? Inna awliya Allah ila khawfin alayhi wa lahum yahzanun. That's what everybody wants. And this is the only way to get that, place.
Well, I mean, after you have tried so hard and you reached to this stage, you naturally die after a few years. And you are relieved of all these sufferings anyhow. Isn't it? Yes.
The manner through which you traverse through the other worlds that come about, For example, you might finally end up on the Day of Judgment, whatever, but the manner that you are at the Day of Judgment is a different matter. These people are the people that have strived throughout their lives. When they're at the Day of Judgment, they are the faces that are shining.
Yeah. Yeah, it all goes back to that very, very famous verse of Surah Waqa, والسابقون السابقون. Those who are ahead of others in this world. They are ahead of others in the other world. However, as Safarad said, unless that drive comes into the heart, one cannot start it. And that drive comes after, of course, we have proven to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we deserve it. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the grace of God, He gives it to whoever He wants. And of course, He doesn't want evil people to go and travel along this path. Now, there is another terminology here with the mystics, which of course we have covered most of it. They say al-insan tabi'iyun wa mithaliyun wa aqliyun wa ilahi. It means this human soul. It is tabi'i because it is connected to alam al-shahada, because it's connected to our bodies. And it's connected to this world. And yet can feel the pleasures of this world. It is mithali because it is human khiyal corresponds to alam al-mithal. Now, we have two types of world of imagination. One is our imagination, which is, they call it the connected world of image. Our imagination, well, my imagination is different from your imagination. However, both of us know that we have something similar, which is imagination. Now, could we have a world, a dimension of this world, which is actually, the nature of imagination are images, isn't it? We have images in our mind. When I say imagination, I don't mean just whimsy type of contemplation. I mean, I have your images in my mind. And this is very real. Your image in my mind is very real. It corresponds to you. It corresponds to the outside world. However, it's in my mind. And that's a world for itself. And that world has a correspondence in reality. Now, could we have a dimension of this world of images independent of mind of people? Is it possible to have it? Yeah. They say it exists. And that is why you have this world. Actually, this world that you have is just a sample of that world, in which the dead people, the deceased people enter. When they die, they go to that world of images, alam al-mithal. And your imagination, but as I said again, by imagination I don't mean your world of images is something which is just a sample of that world of images. And you can go to that world when you sleep, of course. And when you die, you completely go to that world. Now, then, human intellect corresponds to alam al-uqul. And that intellect, by intellect we mean we understand meanings that although they correspond to the real world, however they are above it. Now, the example is, I have an image of you in my mind, and an image of you, these are different images. Now, my intellect then makes an understanding which does not exist in the outer world. And that is the concept of human being, isn't it? Now, does human being, without any special feature, exist outside in the outside world? Thus, human being without a special feature. Of course, I exist with my special features. You exist with your special features. But a human being without any special feature, does it exist in the outside world? It doesn't. However, your mind can make something which is much higher than this world. And that is actually what the world of intellect is about. About things which are, have not a special feature. It goes towards unity. And we have that. And also, the divine aspect of corresponds to human connection to God. Apart from these three levels, we have a divine aspect. And that is what directly can communicate and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, when we say, I say we, it means that we have the potentials. And some people have actually realized these potentials. We have in hadith that the Prophet said, لِيَ مَعَ اللَّهِ وَقْتٌ لَا يَسَأُنِي فِيهَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ. I have times with God, hours with God, which no one could tolerate to share with me, neither a close angel nor a messenger prophet. This is that divine aspect realized. And when that divine aspect of human soul is realized, then no creature, no angel can ever reach that level of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I have come across a very interesting hadith of A'imma alayhi salam. Of course, we read these ahadiths, we don't understand the meaning of it. Even after, thinking and pondering, we come to some sort of puzzle view about what these ahadiths mean. But let's put it in our context. This hadith is from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Yunus ibn Abdul Rahman, or Yunus ibn Dabyan, I'm not sure. He reports from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam and Abi Abdullah. He said, there is not a single Jummah night in which there is not pleasure for friends of God. Illa wa li'awliya Allah fiha surur. There's pleasure on Jummah night for us. I said, may I be your ransom? How is this? He said, when night of Jummah comes, the Prophet visits the Arsh. So this is the Asian Messiah, the Arsh. And the Imams do the same. The Imams who have passed away, of course. And I visit with them, and I do not return, but with learned knowledge. And we have in many other ahadiths that the knowledge of A'imma increases every night of Jummah. Had not this be the case, what I have would have finished or would have exhausted in terms of knowledge. And I have to refresh this knowledge every night of Jummah. It increases its refresh by visiting the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, tell me, what do you understand from this hadith? What is the meaning of this? Put this hadith in the context of our discussion. What do we understand from this hadith? Yes.
The capability that you travel from this world to other world above us, and then.
What do you mean by travel?
To be able to maybe not travel, to actually
connect,
exactly, experience the other dimension.
Transcending, yeah. Actually, the body doesn't go anywhere. The soul doesn't go anywhere. You travel into your soul. And the soul is the place, قلب المؤمن حرم الله, isn't it? The heart of the mu'min, of the believer, is the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you go and search and dive into your own soul. It is as if you have gone to Arshullah, to Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just moving inside deeper and deeper. When it says Prophet visits the Arsh, of course Prophet doesn't go anywhere. It is actually that connection, conjunction, which takes place between the soul of the Prophet and of course the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you may say, is this not all the time the case? Is it not all the time connected? Why Laylatul Jum'ah? Why Jum'ah night? No, if it's all the time connected to verb, it's not easy. It is some times, hours, blessed hours, blessed time that this happened. And this is the meaning of the hadith. I mean, if you put the hadith in this context, all of them find meaning. That إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٍ أَلَا فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا وَلَا تُعْرَضُوا عَنْهَا. For your Lord in the times of your life, there are some breezes of mercy. You expose yourself to those breezes. There are times that He attracts you and then leaves you again. That attracts you because you cannot be in constant attraction. Your soul needs to breathe and then go again. It's like putting you under the water. You have to come, take a breath and go again. Okay? And then, if you send your soul, this happens more and more. And here we have every dominant for the Prophet. This happens. And Prophet expands in knowledge. Although he is dead, he has passed away, he expands in knowledge by visiting the Arsh. And the living Imam as well expands in knowledge by visiting the Arsh. Because that is the infamous side of the knowledge. And
question.
Yeah.
How do you explain the analogy like this? Analogy of the Ruh in the Sama? Did it physically go or was it have a...
I think mystics would prefer to say it's not physical. It was physical from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay? But when it moved then to the higher sky, it was not with the body, physical body. It was just the movement of the soul, going and visiting all those wonders of the afterlife and world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I want to ask you another question. You have heard, this is a very famous hadith, that Quran, for the Quran there is a zahir and a batin. Okay, there is an apparent meaning and a deep meaning. And for every, well, it has seven depths. For each of these depths, seven depths, there are another 70 depths. And so on. Now, what's the meaning of this? Can anyone tell me? Putting it into the context of our discussion. Yes? Yes?
I think I read somewhere about one mystical commentator where he said to do just you. To get the high meaning, you actually have to leave your body. You think for the burden is high or something. And then you travel and you get the high meaning.
What do you mean leave your body? You mean going in Alamul Misal?
Yeah.
Because leaving body means to go to Alamul Misal. But that doesn't give very, very deep meanings. That's just one layer. Yeah.
Well, the Quran teaches us mostly its concepts. And there are concepts which we don't understand, and there are concepts which we'll never understand, which we're not capable of understanding. So the deeper we go, the more concepts we do come to understand. And this is the layers we need to talk about.
However, Quran itself is not something which could have meaning deeper and deeper or whatever. It's our soul which has deeper layers. And when we come across different themes, for example, when a verse we recite, we understand it with the depth of our soul. And then, of course, someone who has different depth in their soul, they get the deeper meaning of that one verse. And everything in this world is like this. Now, there is a very, very interesting hadith. It is often quoted by mystics as actually a witness for what they say. There is a hadith, this is reported by both Shia and Sunni scholars, and it is reported from the Prophet, from Anbiya alayhi salam, that on the day of judgment, when you go to paradise, inshallah, all of us. When we go to paradise, we are told recite a verse and go up. And a person would go higher in accordance with the number of verses of the Quran that they know. اقرأ فرقع. Read and go up. And well, you can imagine that, I mean, if you want to somehow materialize that, make it in a material, imagine it in a material form, you can imagine that there is thousands of stairs, and they put you on the first step, and they tell you, okay, read as many as verses of the Quran that you know, and go up. And of course, you might know two verses of the Quran, and you move only two steps. And now, how many verses Quran has? 6,000, about 6,000. It doesn't mean that those stairs are 6,000 only. No, they might be 600,000, 600 million now. It is the depth of the verse that you get, and according to that you go up. And it's not memorization of the Quran, of course. Not the verses that you know by your memory. The verses that the depth of which you have internalized into your soul. Because this book, as mystic says, this book is your soul explained. And the deeper you get into it, the more you develop your soul. The more you actually expand. And this is the meaning of this hadith that on the Day of Judgment they tell you read and expand and go up. And I think thousands of ahadith, or if not thousands, hundreds of ahadith, you can bring into this context, and this of course a forceful argument for all mystics, that we can explain many of these ahadith very easily. Otherwise you are in trouble. If you want to explain these ahadith in a physical way, or in other ways, then you are in trouble. You either should get a very superficial, mechanical meaning of these ahadith, or you don't understand them at all. Except if you have a knowledge of how human soul is related and connected to different worlds. Okay, then of course, it doesn't stop here. When we say human soul, or human being is مثاليٌ وطبيعيٌ ومثاليٌ وعقليٌ وإلهي. This is just a very, very broad categorization. However, there are different depths into this soul. Now, let's see what else they say. They say there is a great ruh. That is, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهَا مِنْ رُوحِ. You have a ruh from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ar-ruh al-a'zam. They say there is a ruh al-a'zam. Of course there are other ruh, but there is a ruh al-a'zam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes it to himself. In fact, someone asked one of the a'imma alayhi salam, I don't remember which imam he was at the moment, asked him, God Allah has ruh, spirit. He said, of course Allah doesn't have ruh or spirit, because Allah is not composed of spirit. However, like Allah says, Bayti, my house, Kaaba, he says, this is my house, because this house is so dignified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he attributes it to himself. Or when he says, Rasuli, my messenger, the same thing. This messenger is so dignified that I attribute it to myself. And this ruh as well is a dignified ruh, which is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has actually reserved it for human beings to blow it into human soul. This ruh al-a'zam which has come to us, it comes down to the nafs. Okay? our nafs, of course, might be very evil. It might be called nafsul ammara. Okay? Now we discuss about nafsul ammara, nafsul mutmainna, nafsul lawama. It might be nafsul ammara. However, still, this is a very, very much diluted aspect of that great ruha, which, of course, this nafs can identify with that great ruha, can identify with evil things. This is a mechanism which we do not understand. It is a creation which is full of wonders. Now, they say this ruhul a'zam has many different layers. I didn't, unfortunately, get time to put these on the slide. Of course, the meaning of them. But, inshallah, next week I will send you the slides. This Ruhul Azam has a layer which is called As-Sir, a secret. A secret because it is not known. The Lord is not known to anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's called Sir. It is secret still. Although it's secret, its light could be experienced by الراسخون في العلم, by those knowledgeable people, which they can see the glowing of this soul inside themselves, which illuminates the whole mind and heart and understanding of them. Then they say there is another layer of this soul, which is called Al-Khafi. It is the hidden. It is hidden because the reality of it is not known to anyone, even that راسخون في العلم. And the reality of it is very difficult to understand. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. Isn't it? They ask you from the ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا عَلَّهُ. You are not given knowledge about this. What is it? The reality of this is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a knowledge which is kept for him about the reality of this. And if you go to the world of Urafa and those who have actually realized their knowledge, you would find they say that this, how this ruh works in human beings, it is very difficult to find out. Even with unveiling, you cannot see the reality of it. It's very difficult. Now you imagine each one of us. I mean, you can imagine this great ruh, which can somehow elevate human beings to the level of arsh, or even we can have the arsh inside our heart. You can imagine how easily Allah creates these human beings like us, and how this soul, which is the great mystery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very easily created by him. ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة. For me, just as if I have created one human being. Of course, your bodies are reproduced, but your soul, what about the soul? Are they reproduced as well? They are created by him, of course. Well, reproduction is as well a production of him, but the souls are reproduced by that great soul and put into our nafs. Then they say one other layer. This is the lower layer. They call it ar-ruh. Of course, this is a sub branch of that great ruh, which we call it. They call it ruh, the spirit, because it gives a spirit to the body and it manages human soul and human body and human nafs. And it actually is like a god in our body. You see, the mystics very much give the example of human soul and their body, like the how Allah controls this world. We have this this name which is mentioned for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jawshan al-Kabir and in other adhiya, Ya man la yashqaluhu sam'un and sam'. Oh, the one who's not occupied or distracted by hearing one thing from hearing another thing. Now, then there is another thing, Ya man la yashqaluhu sha'nun an sha'n. Oh, the one who's not distracted while he's doing one job from another job. In fact, Allah is at the same time doing everything in this world. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a single leaf falls from him unless by his knowledge, and he knows it, and actually he does it. Well, we do not see his action here, but actually he does it. Now, they say human soul is the same thing. Your soul is actually controlling all cells of your body. And then at the same time, you do many things. Now, at this moment that I'm talking to you, you just imagine how many organs and parts of my body are being controlled by my soul, so that I can express myself. Well, my body, my hands, my tongue, especially I try to find words for my concepts, to bring the concepts. Imagine something and then find concepts for it and find words for those concepts and then ordering my tongue to move accordingly. And all these things, my eyes are moving constantly. Everything is controlled at the same time by the soul. Now, if your soul expands, then many different things, many knowledge, different types of knowledge could be handled at the same time. And sometimes the miracles you hear about A'imma, Prophet, it's like this, their soul controls. And you might have heard of some mystics, for example, when you go to them, they give you something to eat. For example, some sick people go to them, they give a date or something, they say you eat it and you'll become okay. It's not that date which is actually acting. It is their soul which is somehow acting through that. It's very interesting. Probably those of you who have been to Mashhad, the last time we went to Mashhad with some of you, we went and visited the tomb of Sheikh Hassan Ali. No, I don't know, you remember probably. Yeah. That was a miraculous type of artist. And of course he had lots of these karamat and other things. What people went to him, he gave them something to eat, and cancers, different uncurable diseases, he just did it like very easy. Very easy. Now, one day someone went to him and she was actually the wife of the French ambassador in Iraq. And she had heard, the French ambassador had cancer or something, some incurable disease. And he couldn't go to Mashhad, of course, especially with the means of those days. This is about 60, 70 years ago. And the wife went to Mashhad, went to visit this alim, and told him that my husband is dying, please help. Now, he told is your husband a believer in God? She said, certainly we are Christians, we believe in God. He said, okay, you take this date and give him to eat it. He will be okay. She said, I fear if I go there, he's already dead. And he said, okay, you eat it. You'll get okay. And well, she was surprised. How is it possible? I eat it, you'll get okay. Okay. And surprisingly, when she ate it and she went back, she saw the husband was cured, was okay. Now, this is of course something very special. It's not believable. It's something that not ordinary mystics can do, certainly. Now, when we come to types of mystics, inshallah, you will see that mystics have different categories themselves. Some can do miracles, some cannot, some can see. Some can only see, some can only do, some can do both, can see and do. And of course, these are the types we will come to later on, inshallah. But this was something very, very strange. And it's just the extension of the soul which can go and control. In fact, your soul cannot control your own body, cannot manage. Their soul manages your body and controls your soul.
Is this the same thing as what happened with Prophet Yusuf, how he killed his father?
Yeah, exactly.
So then why didn't his father kill himself?
As I said, it's different categories, you see. And sometimes, of course, if they sometimes they are not allowed. Allowed in the sense that they are not given the power. Okay? It's like dua. All of us have the ability to do dua. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. This very person which I'm talking about was living at the time of Reza Shah, which was a cruel, of course, despot who made all majalis for Imam Hussein forbidden in Iran. You have heard about this power. He actually banned hijab and Reza Shah and took hijab from every woman in the streets. And of course many other things. No one could have any majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even in their houses. And our fathers, when they actually talk about those days, it's very gloomy. And that even if they heard someone is reciting a rosa in a basement, suddenly the whole police force would have come and arrested everyone. They didn't allow. Now, people went to this Hassan Ali and asked him, couldn't you do anything about this man? I mean, you have power. You are given all these types of power. And do something. He said, okay. And, well, of course, people saw that no change came. And after a while, they went to him and they said, you didn't do anything? He said, I tried, but I was told this is none of your business. Yeah, really. I mean, God has wisdom, which of course He's not going to put it in hand of people. And when He is ruling things, of course, not mystics, not even prophets, no one can interfere. Well, if this is not their business, it's not their business. They can't do anything about it. Now, of course, with Ya'qub, of course, sometimes these people are so distracted that even if they cure, again they go blind, as it was the case with, say, Shu'ayb, for example. Because he could not control himself crying. Now, Ya'qub was so distraught that he never thought that he wants to cure his heart. He never thought about his own heart. He was so concerned in the heart. But after that, Yusuf shirt or whatever, qamis, اذهبوا بقميص هذا فألقوه على وشابي. When it came, yeah, it's the same thing actually. It cured the eyes. And of course, that was because then he smelled the fragrance of Yusuf, he was relieved in the heart that it could be cured somehow. Okay, and then after this, the spirit, we have, they call it Sadr, sorry, Al-Qalb. They call it Qalb. Now this Qalb, Aql, all these are aspects of our soul. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بَهَا. They have hearts, they do not understand it. So they're all aspects of our soul. It's called Qalb because it changes all the time. And especially with mystics, because it can change phase towards God and towards this world. It receives from God and turns and attends to the body and actually can benefit from both sides. And then it is called Al-Kalima. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ. So, that when God uses kalima here, of course they say this is referring to one aspect of the soul or one level of the soul, the logos, because this spells out the intentions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's called kalima, and every creation of Allah is called kalima because it spells out the what Allah wants to create and what he realizes. Then they say there is another aspect of this ruh which is called fu'ad. Af'idah wa ja'alna lakum sam'an wa absaran wa af'idah. Af'idah is the plural of fu'ad. Now fu'ad is the impressed. Why? Fa'ada means to be injured, to be impressed by something. And the fu'ad is that aspect of the soul which gets really impressed by looking into the world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it is also called as-sadr, the issuing, because it is from the sadr which of course the understandings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is issued, and the light of the ruh comes to the body. Light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the body from this soul, and that is the sadr from which issues or comes out all those shining. And it is called ar-ru'ah, the fear, because it fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-ru'ah. We have the hadith from the Prophet, inna ruha al-qudus nafasa fi ru'i, not fi ru'i, fi ru'i. Ruh al-Qudus blew into my inner soul, fi ru'i. Lan tamuta nafsun حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَةً. No one would die until they receive completely what rizq is destined for them. فَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الْقَلَبِ. So, he easy going in after the work. Do not worry. Of course, Prophet says, but you do not believe it. And then, it's called Allah. Understand. Because it's through this soul that you understand. And a nafs. Of course, nafs is now a more general term used when we talk about the totality of this soul, human soul. But it is all aspects or manifestations of that great ruh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually blown into human existence. Or you can't say into human body, because after this body vanishes, it still exists. It's blown into human existence, into human creation. Now this nafs, is called nafsul ammara if the physical aspect of human being overcomes the spiritual aspect. And then, since the soul wants to actually gain benefits for the physical aspect, pleasures, then it is of course nafsul ammara. It's the same nafs. It's not something, we don't have different type of nafus. It's all the same thing. Depending on the attitude, and that's why we can change the attitude of, when we change the attitude of the nafs, we change the name of the nafs. If after this overcoming of the physical aspect of soul, of human being, over the spiritual aspect, the soul remembers or is reminded and then blames that, why have I done such? This blaming of the soul is a very, very important sign that we do not belong to this physical world only. It's a sign because we blame ourselves for it. It means that we have other ambitions, other concepts which are more valued for us. And when we let the physical aspect overcome the spiritual aspect or that higher valued aspect, we start blaming us. And that is called an-nafsul lawwama, isn't it? The blaming. Or the blaming aspect. An-nafsul lawwama. Now, if you continue blaming yourself and quitting what you have been doing, it comes a time that you realize that you are no more controlled by your physical aspect, by your physical world. There comes a stage that you feel you are completely relying on what is, what belongs to the other world, not this world. And it's at this stage that the nafs becomes relieved, comforted, becomes tranquil. And this is called what? An-nafsul mutma'innah. It is completely relieved of the worries, which of course come with sin, come with greed, come with the diversion of all attention toward the physical aspect of life. You go about it. Now, when I say physical aspects, of course, it's not just immediate physical pleasures. It's many, many other things. You worry about your children, about their future. Not in terms of training, or you worry about them that, well, they might be poor in the future. Or I myself. What am I going to do next year, for example, if I don't have a good job? These are, of course, not very immediate pleasures. However, these are the physical aspects of our lives, which are controlling our soul. It is actually, it fetters the soul. It doesn't let it to leave and go up, go higher, and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is all the time worried about the body. The body in its totality, of course. Now, tomorrow, next year, his own body, his relatives, physical life and all these things, it doesn't let it to leave this aspect. And of course the soul is very I don't know, habitable is a good word. It becomes, things would become habitual for it very quickly. I mean, if you train it to all the time worry about the body, all the time worries about the body. If you train it that it worries about higher things, it then worries about higher things. And then, of course, it will see the light. As long as it is completely occupied with organizing the affairs of the body, it cannot go higher. Now, there's one thing about Ramadan, which I'm going to mention in the next hour, for I think we have a program. This fasting of Ramadan, you see, of course, the fast in Ramadan, many different philosophies are mentioned. However, what is important in Ramadan, in Laylatul Qadr, the angels come down. Okay, that's very special. But in the whole Ramadan, there are lights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere. And it's just like a big meadow in which there are lots of different types of flowers, fragrance. And when you walk into it, you get fragrance of that meadow when you leave. Now, the soul in this month is actually exposed to this, what is the party of Allah, so Ziyafatullah. It's Ziyafatullah, isn't it? It means Allah has actually abundantly poured down light for the soul. Now, of course, if you do not fast, your soul is very much again occupied with your body. With the least of it is digestion of the food. I mean, even the physical aspects are managed by the soul. And the least of it is digestion of the food, thinking about food. Of course, even when we fast, we all the time think about the star and then what to eat and all these things. But it's still in those few hours which the soul is less occupied with body. Even unknowingly, inadvertently, those fragrant lights which are everywhere in Ramadan are attracted by the soul. However, if you do not fast, the soul cannot get there, cannot attract them. And this is a type of philosophy of the fast that, of course, could not be explained very easily, except by knowing what is the relationship of soul to the body, and how soul can be very much distracted. In fact, some actions completely strangulate the soul. And that these are great sins, which completely the soul becomes completely overwhelmed by physical aspects of being. And some say, for example, Salatul Layl, it very much helps it to move up and to release itself from the concerns of the body. And of course see the light and all these things. I think I conclude the topic of the soul by saying that human soul in mystical literature is a very, very capable entity which can be as big as the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which we can lose very easily by occupying it with with the type of life which it really does not deserve. Well, it doesn't go with its position, the position of the soul. And this is the meaning of those verses that we mentioned at the beginning of the topic when we wanted to talk about soul, that الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, those who have lost their souls and they do not believe. Or نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ, you forget Allah, you don't see your soul. It's the other way of saying that you completely divert your attention to this world. You do not see your soul. Your soul is overwhelmed, is subdued, and you do not see it. It becomes very small. And it's just to put it in a type of physical sense, the soul is like an elastic thing. Okay? A very fine elastic material. You could squeeze it in a way that you could just hold it in your hand, and you could let it expand and it becomes the size of the universe. It's a very, very amazing thing. Now, if sometimes you see these films of science fiction or very amazing things made about some capacities of some people, you might imagine if you want to make a film of this, it would become very, very interesting. How you could squeeze something to be placed in the palm of the hand, and how you could make it expand to the size of the universe. And this is human soul. It's an amazing thing. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, I swear by the soul and the one who fashioned it. And it's fashioned in this way. And then the funny thing is that it is entrusted to us. And I don't know whether God, probably he didn't know that how silly we are. Na'udhu billah. I mean, sometimes you think that how is it possible that this is entrusted to us? A very short time to do whatever we want with it. And actually it would become very frightening when we think about it. What type of thing is entrusted to us? What is given to us? And of course what we do with it. And whatever we do with it, it will be with us forever. I mean, the soul is shaped and fashioned in this world. forever. The way we fashion and the way we make it. Is there any question? Yeah.
People who meditate, do they actually get the feeling getting into their soul?
Which feeling? You see, soul has millions of layers. And meditation, the point is that many people might talk about meditation and mystical experience. We really don't know what level they are talking about, how deep they can go, what depth of their soul they can find out. The only thing is that we know meditation is not going anywhere, it's just reflecting inside the soul. And it cannot be done by just not thinking about anything or sitting still. We know that this zikrullah is very, very important for meditation. It is by zikrullah that the soul is refreshed and revived. And Allah bi zikrullah tatma'innu al-qulub. If you want nafsul mutma'inna, qalb is nafs, okay? If you want nafsul mutma'inna, only remembrance of God can bring it for you. And after you have nafsul mutma'inna, then you can start to see your soul, okay? And to reach that level of nafsul mutma'inna is in itself a real task, okay? And this meaning of nasullah fa nasiyahum, they forget God. So, fa'ansahum anfusahum, Allah has made them to forget their souls, is in fact telling us that if you do not remember God, you never can get to the depth of your soul. It's impossible. So by meditation in the way that nowadays we have, that you just sit somewhere, don't think about anything, suspend yourself completely, you might get somewhere, but it's very shallow, very shallow. You cannot get. It's just a distraction from this world. It's good. At that level, it's good. But not real knowledge comes out of it, which of course the mystics are after, the real knowledge. Yes?
In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned
who
will produce the prophet Isa. Why?
Of course, the mystics say Ruh al-Qudus is again one category of this Ruh. When it gets very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will become Ruh al-Qudus. And in fact, when we have Ruh al-Qudus, our Ruh, of course the prophets, their Ruh identified themselves with that very holy Ruh, which is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how we say وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. They can connect to that Ruh. And the connection is in a way that their Ruh becomes identified with that Ruh al-Qudus. It becomes the same thing actually. And it is again one deeper level of our soul. Which of course only very, very high level prophets can reach it, not us, of course. Yeah.
I mean, how many Ruhs are there? Is there just one Ruh with which all of us have different levels of connection? Or are there many different
ruhs? Human beings, yes, they are connected to only one ruh. That is ruhi, my ruh. However, there might be other ruhs that we are not aware of, or are not connected to this ruh, which is human ruh.
So when we say a person's ruh, we don't actually mean he has his own ruh. What we mean is his connection to the
ruh. He has his own nafs, right. Okay? And nafs can identify itself with many different things. And one is with that ruh, greatly. Yeah.
Ruh al-Amin.
Ruh al-Amin is Jibreel.
Yeah. Is there any nothing to do with this ruh?
Not probably. No. Probably not. Yeah. Okay.